65 to make an appointment. Anyone who believes they're at risk should call 888-364-3065, where you can talk to experts that can determine if and how to be tested. Walk-ins will not be seen. Once again, call 888-364-3065 to make an appointment for COVID-19 testing available at Stony Brook University. This has been a public service announcement from Stony Brook University and WUSB FM.
And we are WUSB FM. In fact, we're WUSB Stony Brook at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday. Time, once again, for Off the Wall. Yes, we're back with another exciting edition of Off the Wall, brought to you from a remote location. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you tonight, joined by Kyle.
I'm here as well, yes, down the road.
Down the road a ways, absolutely. And it's starting to feel normal. Well, I don't want it to feel normal, but it is fun to be able to do this.
It works really well, and we've, I think, adjusted completely. Still innovating and doing all kinds of testing and retesting, and it's cool to be able to have our regular radio station, right? I mean, it feels like WSB's been here all along, because it has.
Yeah, I mean, we're not really going anywhere. We're going everywhere, but we're not going anywhere at the same time, because we're staying at home as well. So that's I guess our summation of where we are, which is nowhere and everywhere at the same time.
I haven't looked at any of the news. I'm not really plugged into anything. I did read the Farmer's Almanac, and I'm working on planting some radishes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's my accomplishment.
Radishes. Yeah. All right, that's good. That's good. Well, we ran a lot of errands today, actually. We had another drop-off at the hospital. We had so much. Thank you to the people who have sent things in from all over the place, from Asia, from around the world. We're dropping off important PPEs at the hospital here at Stony Brook. And we had so much, we had to take the van. The old 2600 van was driving around town, and it's in pretty good shape. Hasn't started for a few months, but...
Providing essential service to the Stony Brook Hospital? Absolutely. We were in full effect. This was our mission, and ran some other errands as well.
But we were in full effect, but the thing is, we were in full effect also at the same time that the Blue Angels of Death, those people in the airplanes... Wait, is it just the Blue... Is it Blue Angels of Death, or is it just the Blue... I honestly don't know. What are they called?
Blue Angels.
Okay. So I added the death part. I'm sorry about that. Maybe I'm just a little bitter because I didn't see them. We went out, and they were supposed to be there at like 12:20, and we even pulled over to the side of the road, away from other people that were pulled over to the side of the road. There were all these people in Port Jefferson, which is really not not a wise thing to do, gathering crowds, and I'm seeing way too much of that. But the planes didn't show up when they were supposed to. I hear they showed up. I just don't know when they showed up. And I didn't hear them. So a little disappointed there. It was a very nice day for that. I understand somebody saw them, but we didn't. Did anybody in the area see the Blue Angels? I'd sure like to know. You didn't see them, right?
Please tell us. Yeah. It is alleged they passed over, but I'm not convinced. I saw a lot of people looking. There was a lot of interest, of course.
A lot of interest and a lot of traffic, too, afterwards. Oh, my God.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
More traffic than I've seen in months.
Yeah, and the weather was clear enough that you would have been able to see something flying. So, well, good for thanking people, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I understand. It took them something like 10 minutes to get out here from Queens in those planes. Theoretically, at least in what they printed in a newspaper, but I didn't see them. They're supposed to fly over the hospital. But you know what? We're busy with other things, so it's okay. We don't have to hear these very loud airplanes. They're the same ones we saw in Seattle, right?
Yeah, we saw similar planes, like, of many. We saw a lot of different ones.
The ones that scared me to death, which ones were those? Remember we were at a cafe and I dove for the ground?
Yeah, those were F-22 Raptors.
No, but who was flying them? What kind of... Was that the Blue Angels of Death? I keep doing it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to call them that. It's just...
The Marines?
It flows off the tongue.
I think some of them might have been...
I don't know what Blue Angels are. Are
Navy
they Marines?
Or Marines?
What are Blue Angels? Are they...
Oh, they're like a aeronautical like show team. So they're not really... They represent the Air Force. They represent the Navy.
They represent, but they're not in the Navy?
Well, it's not... It's not like a demonstration aircraft like the ones you're talking about scaring you. You're talking about a lot of things at once. I can't really...
I move very fast,
Kyle.
You should know this by now. I move a mile a minute. We only have an hour.
What are you still interested in?
Actually, I'm not interested anymore, but I was asking about the Blue Angels, who their affiliates are, who they're affiliated with, what country...
The Navy.
Assume they're on our side, which is a good thing.
Yeah, the U.S.
And the U.S. Navy. Okay.
Yeah, the Navy. And I mean,
I guess... think it would be the Air Force? I don't understand it, but okay, the Navy, fine. I'm sure the Air Force has nice boats. But, all right, fine. We didn't see them, though. If you saw them, write to us, otw@2600.com.
But the van's running great. It feels solid. It's, you know, it just making this sort of familiar van noises. And boy, it seemed like it's like we never left it.
Well, I prefer the familiar van noises to the unfamiliar van noises. We've heard many of those over the years. We've got the clutch fix now. It actually, you don't wrench your arm out of its socket when you shift. It's a standard, by the way. It's a standard Dodge Ram from, I think, 1982, 83. So it's something to drive. A lot of people don't like to drive it. I do like to drive it, but not when it was in the shape it was in.
No, it was bending some part of a flex plate or a clutch or some piece of the transmission and, shifting assembly. And so our excellent technical advisor told us, let me build something to make it so it doesn't do that. And it actually, it's not counteracting itself. I thought it wasn't adjusted right, but it turns out it was adjusted right. It's just it was allowing us to press too hard and bend something that then counteracted that.
I see. Wow. Well, it's good to be able to drive it again and to be able to go back and forth. But again, as I said, there were just too many people. We ran some errands. And you know what? We're going to name names because this is a health issue. With COVID-19, your actions matter. They actually can affect your health, your life.
We didn't take any names, though.
Oh, I'm giving names. And the name is Lowe's in Stony Brook. We went there, and it was packed with people. Absolutely packed. So packed that we felt it was unsafe to continue. Just too many people. And so got in the van and went to Agway, which has a lot less people and a lot more sane policy as far as spacing people out. That's what you have to do, folks. You have to maintain these things. They don't just go away because you want them to.
Yeah, they had multiple cashiers instead of like the one cashier in the garden center in the mega hardware superstore. So we didn't want to sit in lines and practice spacing because they're inefficiently checking people out and really awkward ways.
And people weren't wearing masks, or people in there not wearing masks, yeah, and that's just not safe.
Exactly. Like, few and far between. There's a lot of people wandering aimlessly, not really paying attention, and the lining is spacing such that you can't actually shop without cutting into someone who's in some extended line.
Right.
So the line's like spiraling around into aisles, so you can't actually keep your distance and get any products to then go and sit in that line for like an hour and a half.
Now, remember, it basically starts, it's a pandemic. It's contagious. It starts with one person. And that one person came to this country and wasn't careful, and it spread as a result of that. It might have been inevitable, but the fact is, had that one person been able to be... I'm echoing. okay, we need to turn that speaker down. If that one person had been controlled a little better, it wouldn't have happened. Now, the same thing can happen in a big store. One person can be careless and not actually paying attention to what it is they're doing. And as a result, the pandemic spreads even more. So, you know, a lot of us have done well as far as taking care of ourselves, taking care of the people around us. And we want to continue doing that. You know, it's only the weakest link that people remember. You might go 3 months being careful, and it's just that one mistake you make that gets you sick, and we don't want to see that happen.
Yeah, and you can't underestimate the chaos of opening things up. It just exponentially increases the mixing and churning of different people as they do even the smallest things. I probably passed by a bunch of people. You know, you don't know when you go to different places. You have to think to yourself, how many people did I just walk by? How many were not masked in that bunch?
Right.
And you end up focusing so much on this stuff that it's almost paralyzing. It's hard to get to function and do the simple little things you set out to do in the first place because you have to worry. It's way better if we just keep the freeze on this and come back to it when we have a lot more treatments and confidence in the numbers and survivability and so on.
No, absolutely. It's just paying attention. And I know things change. It's easy to make fun of the changing rules. Yeah, they told us not to wear masks. Now they're telling us to wear masks. Everybody's learning about this as we go along. I can understand that. I want to hear if somebody says, oops, I made a mistake, rather than somebody doubling down and continuing to say stupid things over and over again just because they have a weird sense of pride. We're seeing way too much of that in leadership roles lately, without naming names. But it's something that you need to do in order to protect other people. It doesn't protect you from somebody who isn't masked. So that's why you need to make sure the people around you have masks on. If they sneeze or cough or something and they're infected, that mask will help protect the people around them. But the mask that you are wearing is not going to protect the virus from getting to you. It's kind of hard to sort it all out. But
To a lesser degree.
Yeah, to a lesser degree.
It may, but it's not something. It's not the foremost point of it.
I don't pretend to understand it all, but I do know that
it's a barrier, but it's not something to.
If somebody's wearing a mask and they're sick and they sneeze or cough, that mask is going to protect me from standing next to them, and that's. I'd rather they have the mask on than not have the mask. And since so many people don't know they're sick, that's a really, really important thing to do. So if people aren't doing that, stay away from those people.
And this doesn't even get into surfaces.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But, we've gotten into the habit, we go out and pick up things, whether it's packages or shopping, and we come back, we wipe things down, and basically clean ourselves off. And it takes longer. It's a hassle. Wish didn't have to do it, but you get used to it. And until this ends, we're going to keep doing it. And, I'd like it to end sooner, but that me wanting it to end sooner isn't going to make it end sooner. So we just have to pretty much stick together as we have been doing and convince others to do the same.
Yeah, so that isn't a haphazard reopening.
Right. Oh, I remember one thing I wanted to tell you was about the van. What do they call that thing? Where you make the turn signal?
Yeah.
And the turn signal turns off when you turn the wheel? What is that called? It clicks because you made the turn. It knows you made the turn. So
like a signal release or something.
Signal release?
I made that up, but yeah.
Nobody knows what that's called, do they? Nobody.
There's probably a term for it.
I'm sure there is. I wish I knew what it was. Anyway, that's broken on the left turn. If you make a left turn with your signal on and you turn back, the left turn signal will keep flashing.
Really?
Yeah. So if you're behind the 2600 van and you see a left turn signal on, we might not want to really turn left. So be advised of that.
Yeah, something to look out for.
Because we're not going to fix it. We just know we're not going to fix it for a long time. No, we'll figure it out. Once we figure out what it's called, we'll get a new one. And that'll be, spring. Spring is here, Kyle.
Yeah, I was just talking about reading the almanac.
Uh-huh. Well, your microphone's very, very low, by the way. I'm trying to tell you that with hand gestures. See,
okay.
You have one dot. I have 10 dots. So I'm just trying to tell you that.
Well, we have completely different mics, but I'm interested in what you have to say. It's not really about me.
No, but it's about you when you're talking. And I just want to make sure people can hear you. That's
is
all.
Is that better? Maybe
yeah, it's better. When I get you riled up, then your volume goes up. So that's right. I guess I need to do that.
I'll be more mindful of my microphoning. Please continue.
I'm trying to.
You
only have an hour, man. The time is going so fast.
It really is.
I value every second. Well, spring, yes. Planting things in the garden. You got some nice garden supplies today in a non-crowded store.
That's right. Yeah, I got some moss, which is controversial.
Why is moss controversial?
It's because it's not sustainable and all.
Wait,
that.
You're kidding me? Really? People don't like moss?
I don't know. There's all these things when you get into gardening and chemicals versus organic.
Is it moss or is it moss? Which is it? That's the first level of contention.
We're not going to get through this conversation. I just was referencing what I was doing before I was going to talk about something else. Mm-hmm. So we're far away from the actual story here.
We really should have 2 hours. We really should.
I think we could. Yeah. There's enough coffee.
And by the way, this coffee is amazing. Kyle makes coffee. What this is what, an Americano you
That's
made?
That's an Americano.
It's really, really good. Of course, it takes you 45 minutes to make it, but it's worth the wait. That's how good it is.
Yeah, there's like a sundial and a skylight involved and crystals.
And all kinds of noise, all kinds of power is needed to accomplish this. But yeah, it really perks me up quite a bit. Okay, so you talk about inconvenience. You hear about these Dutch kids who were traveling in various parts of the world. They were ages 14 to 17, and they had a bunch of crew members and teachers on this boat. And they were supposed to fly back, but then coronavirus hit. And that kind of changed their plans. Instead of flying back from Cuba, because they can go there, they can go to Cuba. They were going to fly back from Cuba, but instead they actually stocked up on supplies, got some warm clothes, and set sail for the northern Dutch port of Harlingen, a five-week voyage of nearly 7,000 kilometers on board the 60-meter topsail schooner Wild Swan. See, Dutch kids know how to have a field trip. That is incredible. 5 weeks on the high seas. And of course, you know, they had to have a test beforehand to make sure they didn't have the coronavirus so that they could do this safely. But they kind of did the exact opposite of what everyone else does. Like right now, they're back home. And one of their parents says, at home, you just have some moments for yourself. Oh, I'm sorry, that's actually a comment from one of the kids. No, the parents said, I think after 2 days, she'll want to go back on the boat. Because life is very boring back at home. There's nothing to do. She can't visit friends, so it's very boring. Whereas on the boat, the kids said, you just have some moments for yourself, but here you have to be social all the time to everyone because you're sleeping with them, you're eating with them, you're just doing everything with them, so you can't really just relax. Well, now you can. Now you're home. Now you got nothing to do. But boy, that I guess that's kind of like, you know, you hear about all those cruises from hell where everybody catches a disease. This is the opposite of that. Where you just kind of stay on the boat and everybody on shore is getting diseases, but you're not. And why not keep going? Just not land anywhere. Just stay. It could be like some kind of 60s sitcom where these kids are on a boat and they just never land because everybody's got cooties on the shore and they just have to occasionally get supplies and have their adventures on the high seas.
Yeah, I'm sure there are some documentaries and shows about that, but... It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. All right. So a bunch of landlords are reporting. In fact, half of the retail landlords that completed a recent survey, because they've got nothing else to do right now, said more than half of their tenants missed or were unable to pay their full rent on Long Island in April because of the coronavirus pandemic. This is what we've been talking about. Why would you expect tenants to pay the rent when the tenants who run businesses aren't getting any income? Doesn't make sense. Yeah, so the 46.4% figure is according to a COVID-19 Long Island Economic Impact Survey, which polled landlords of commercial and multifamily residential units from April 14th to April 21st. So we're talking about businesses, but it also refers to residences as well. Same rationale. The results of this poll make it abundantly clear that the pandemic is having a devastating blow to Long Island's economy. That sentence is not grammatically correct. I'll let it go, though. We anticipate May's results after a full 6 weeks of economic shutdown to be worse. The results will be a potent tool when stating the need for federal, state, and local assistance in order to jumpstart our economy, they say. Survey found that 37% of respondents with office space did not receive rent from 10% to 20% of their tenants. Furthermore, 40.9% of respondents with multifamily residential units did not receive April rent from 10 to 20% as well. Everything was going very well in February and March. Rents were coming in. And then, of course, we get into April and things pretty much just stop, said one of the landlords. Retail tenants' registers stopped ringing, leaving them with insufficient money to pay the rent. It's frustrating. Our hearts go out to them, said one of the landlords. Said his company could offer more rent flexibility to tenants if its lenders were more flexible. And this is the thing. Everybody's got to play ball here. You can't just say, yeah, we're the lenders. We're not going to do anything for the landlords. And the landlords can't say, we're the landlords. We're not going to do anything for the tenants. No, we all have to suffer equally. You know, you can't pass this on to one person and then not feel the effects yourself. We're certainly feeling the effects of it. And We expect others higher up on the food chain to also be a part of that. Now, Governor Cuomo's 90-day moratorium on residential and commercial evictions went into effect on March 20th, but it does not erase tenants' financial responsibility. And yeah, I can see that. You still owe the money, but you just can't pay it now. When the money starts coming back in, then you can start paying. You can't pay it all at once. That's not possible. How are you going to do that? But if your income starts recovering, then your debts can start recovering as well. We have to work with people. There's just no other way. Reasonable, right?
Yeah, and you can't assume that you can't charge people for that assuming there's going to be a plan. If there's no plan to do that that makes everyone right, it's a non-starter. You're asking way too much of people to cover this gap, assuming that there's going to be business again. And if they can't persist, if they can't stay in their place, if they can't finish remodeling or reconfiguring to a business model that works, as a lot of businesses have had to do, like restaurants going for takeaway, it requires investment to be responsive to the business climate we're in. So there's already expenditures and things, PPE, hand sanitizer, cleaning stuff, extra cleaning in businesses so that they're up to snuff. Like your insistence upon a rent as usual just hampers all of those things, like coming into compliance and so that you can exist in a couple months when those loans or whatever would come back, would be due or something.
And this is also where we see the importance, the vital role that government plays. They have to be there. They have to be there to help, whether it's some kind of stimulus package for individuals, which a lot of people are still waiting for, or the payroll protection program that is being rolled out for a second time. We're trying to be a part of that at 2600. Boy, it is difficult. They really make it hard. The thing is, they make it hard in unreasonable ways. The banks say, we're not going to process anymore, or you have to have an account with this bank in order to do it, which is hard to do if your bank has already told you that they're not doing any more, and the other bank is saying, yeah, we'll do it if you're a customer, but you have to be a customer 2 months ago. Well, how are we supposed to work with those numbers? That's impossible. So you have to really keep trying and eventually find people who can help. And then hope that it doesn't run out of money again. You know, you need to know that your government is going to be there to help, because that is what they are for. You're paying for this. Your tax money goes to this. And other countries have got it figured out. Countries in Europe, Canada, they're paying their full employee salaries for a period of time. And it's not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable to expect that. You know, you were watching C-SPAN earlier today, and I just could not believe some of the idiots calling into that show. Saying that the government should not give anybody anything. I'm trying to figure out what these people want exactly. They just want to nuke everybody and that's it, and nobody gets anything. And they just always so angry. And here you have a situation where people are getting sick. It's clearly not their fault, but somehow they're angry at them. I would love to spend time and study the brain behind these things, but wow. I right now I'm just going to step back in awe and a little fear.
Yeah, it's silly. They are just so hung up on their own principles and can't stand relenting on anything. And even in a crisis, yeah, it's all about not having a big government and so forth.
Uh-huh.
But as Steve Bannon has said, it's not relevant.
He said that, huh?
Apparently.
Wow. Okay. It's not relevant. That's good to know. Good to know. Here's something that is relevant, though. Do you know that at Stony Brook, the nursing home, the veterans home at Stony Brook, the death toll for COVID-19 is 52. 52 at that one location just down the block. From the station on campus. COVID-19 death toll risen to 52. It's got 350 beds. Do the math. Highest number of reported COVID-19 deaths of any Long Island nursing home. Six more residents died since a letter was posted on the home's website on Tuesday, and 20 have died since April 17th. Executive Director Fred Skanga says, "Our staff continues to deeply mourn the loss of our residents. We honor the families and the suffering they have endured during these tragic times. The Veterans Home is one of the few on Long Island that has been open about coronavirus-related deaths. So it's possible that others have higher numbers, but Stony Brook is at least giving the information out. Newsday this month surveyed Long Island's adult care homes. A large majority refused to disclose the number of COVID-19 deaths. I don't know how they get away with that.
And they're not testing all of them, too.
In addition, the state's tally of nursing home deaths appears to be an undercount because the state last month relieved the homes of having to test residents for the virus." Wow. Unbelievable.
They just say, like, presumed COVID-19 death or COVID-19 related.
Of the 126 staff members, 57 have tested positive. That is scary. That is something else. And here's a story that's going to get me angry. So stand back. This takes place out east in Greenport. A guy named Don Chuz. He was a tiling subcontractor, well known out there. And he died of COVID-19. According to Greenport business owner Brent Pelton, Don Chuz was afraid to seek medical care because of his immigration status and because he lacked insurance and was afraid of the cost. Jorge Gomez, owner of JG Quality Construction, spoke with Chuz the day before he died and urged him to seek medical treatment, but he refused to go to the hospital. He passed away on Saturday morning. I spoke with him on Friday afternoon. Gomez said he didn't look too well. I told him he should go to the hospital, and he said, "I'm just afraid of being able to pay since I don't have health insurance." I told him it didn't matter. He should go to the hospital, but he didn't want to do it. How many people do you have that conversation with where you're trying to convince them that, you know what, maybe you need to have this looked at, and they don't want to go because they're afraid of the cost or they're afraid of something else? Many in our community are like that, says Gomez. They are afraid because they don't have insurance, and most of them feel threatened because of their legal situations, meaning immigration status. But health comes first. There's always a way to take care of a situation. I'm pretty sure he was not going to end up in jail. You know, pretty sure is great, but we need a guarantee. We need people to be told, yes, you're safe. Come in, get taken care of. We promise you, we will not let ICE anywhere near you. It's just insane that people have to worry about this on top of everything else. Our health matters. Everyone's health matters. And if people are infected, it's going to affect everybody. Doesn't matter what your nationality is. Doesn't matter what your religion is. Doesn't matter. Brent Pelton took to social media on Friday to try to raise awareness. Eastern Long Island Hospital, Stony Brook Medicine, today confirmed they do not share immigration status with anyone and that everyone is able to get treated at the emergency room even if you can't afford to pay. So important for people to know this. Please, let's everyone get the word out so we don't have members of our community sick and dying at home for fear of immigration retaliation or an inability to pay. I don't care what you think about immigration. It's not relevant right now. And this right here should tell you that instilling fear in people is not the way to go. It's not how you get the results you want. He continued, "You can seek medical help without feeling afraid of the expenses that this may cause you because there are many payment solutions available, among them Medicaid or even payment plans, and the government will take care of the cost of COVID-19 exams." He said, "We're devastated that somebody in the community would be fearful of seeking treatment based on their immigration status and the possibility of having to pay a hospital bill. It's a huge issue." A friend of his said he never went out, never even got a ticket. He died of fear. And it's scary this could happen in America. And the thing is, with the people who are working, whether it's out east or throughout the island or throughout the country, they're very much a part of what we know out east, the East End Canvas, they call it, working in construction, kitchens, as landscapers, and they're unable to get unemployment. But they're essential workers, so they have to continue at their post despite the risks. How crazy is that? They're essential workers, but not able to get unemployment. They're not able to get benefits of any sort because of their immigration status. But they're essential. This is the world we're living in. Many of the Latino community live in the shadows in Greenport. And it's known that the infection is spreading among the population, many of whom live in very close quarters and can't isolate. The numbers showing up for cast meals has lessened because they tell us some are at home quarantined. It's heartbreaking. You can have a grandmother with two children, and they may have eight people living together in their home. If one gets infected, they all get infected. It's sad. They're afraid to go to the hospital. And, you know, you think a story like this would tug at the heartstrings just a little bit, but I took a look at the website of The Patch, which is the online newspaper that this ran in. Really, some good stories that they've been running recently, but boy, this was an eye-opener. I'm going to, like we mentioned store names, I'm going to read the names of the people who posted publicly, because you deserve to have your name read for the opinions that you express in a public forum. So Phil DeGraves of Huntington, nice guy, hard worker, that's not the point. He was here illegally. There are only 530 confirmed cases in Guatemala and would have been better served to bask in the light Guatemalan than hide in the shadows here, safer all around. And, here we go. It's a shame that he died. I'm fixing the grammar in many of these two, by the way. Had he gone to the hospital as an illegal, he would not pay anything. Sadly, if you or I had gone to the hospital, we'd be paying off our bill for the next 10 years. This is what's wrong with the country right now. No! Follow the money. I'm sorry, that's the name you used. You are what is wrong with this country. You and this callous, cold-hearted attitude where if somebody doesn't follow the rules as you lay them out, they're less than human. I'm not going to read any more of these. These people need to be ashamed of themselves, though. It's disgusting. And anyone out there, regardless of their immigration status, is 100 times the person they are. So before you go posting something hateful and stupid in a time like this, realize there are actual human beings involved. Actual families who have done nothing and who probably are serving you much more than you have ever served anybody in your life. And I hope if nothing else, when we get through all of this, we have a better understanding of what it means to be human. Although there are some people too far gone.
Yeah, you have to realize how the proximity that these people who are suffering have to you. You may be closer to them than you think. And that's why it's incumbent upon you to make sure you look out for other people so that your orbit, everyone in your orbit and who you rely on, your community, dare I say, needs to be healthy. That's what we're taking away from this. That's no matter how you cut it, no matter how far, how long it takes to recover from this, it's really just that interconnectedness that we're becoming so aware of.
Some more than others, though. I mean, I just feel like there's absolutely nothing that can get through to certain people. You're seeing it now with those who are demonstrating against shelter in place, demonstrating against the pandemic as if it's something the Democrats came up with. There is nothing that Trump can do that will raise their ire in any way. It doesn't matter what he says. He can tell you to inject yourself with Listerine or whatever he did last week, and they're fine. It doesn't matter how many of them keel over for having done it, but it's not his fault. It's the liberal media. It's the Democrats. It's Hillary Clinton. You're never going to get through to these people. You know, I mean, maybe I'm overgeneralizing, and maybe there are a bunch of people who are finally seeing the light and saying, wow, these are bad people. Let's hang out with anybody else. But I do think there are a good number of people who just will never, and this is not anything new. You look at any kind of dark period in history, and people who are basically counting on a mob of people to follow them into the darkness, they always get their mob. Those people are always there.
Yeah, I think we're able to hear them more. There's more forums for them to show up and express themselves and record that sentiment. I don't think in past eras there was as much ability to record it, because that yeah. cynicism didn't share in documenting. They didn't share a zeal for marking history quite the same way, and they didn't have accessibility to the tools in the same way we have now.
But does that ability to record what it is they're saying and doing, does that lead to more people condemning them or more people joining them? You know, I wonder. You used to think that, wow, okay, everyone's going to see how horrible you are and you'll be rightfully condemned by everybody. But then there's this whole other mob of people that are just waiting for that signal of somebody truly horrible so they can follow. You know, and I honestly don't know which one is stronger. I like to think that, you know, the enlightened, generous, kind people are in the majority. But I don't know. We need to really get our acts together if we want to prevail over this. Anyway, and there was this other, as long as I'm on the dark news, I might as well stay with the dark news. Top emergency room doctor at a Manhattan hospital who treated many coronavirus patients died by suicide on Sunday. Dr. Lorna M. Breen, medical director of the emergency department at New York Presbyterian Allen Hospital, died in Charlottesville, Virginia, where she was staying with her family. Dr. Breen's father, also a doctor, Dr. Philip C. Breen, said she had described devastating scenes of the toll the coronavirus took on patients. She tried to do her job and it killed her, he said. The elder Dr. Breen said his daughter had contracted the coronavirus herself but had gone back to work after recuperating for about a week and a half. The hospital sent her home again before her family intervened to bring her to Charlottesville. Dr. Breen, who was 49 years old, did not have a history of mental illness, according to her father, but he said that when he last spoke with her, she seemed detached, and he could tell something was wrong. She had described to him an onslaught of patients who were dying before they could even be taken out of ambulances. She was truly in the trenches of the front line, he said. He added, make sure she's praised as a hero, because she was. She's a casualty just as much as anyone else who has died. So, Dr. Lorna Breen, a hero. One of many. One of too few who are recognized as such. In a statement, New York Presbyterian Columbia used that language to describe her. Dr. Breen is a hero who brought the highest ideals of medicine to the challenging front lines of the emergency department. Our focus today is to provide support to her family, friends, and colleagues as they cope with this news during what is already an extraordinarily difficult time. And you know, we see this every day we go out here at Stony Brook. All the people who show up for work and are on the front lines of this horrible fight. We drove on campus about a week ago, saw them putting the finishing touches on something which is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. We talked about what was happening in South Pilot, this huge commuter lot where basically a lot of the COVID-19 testing is taking place. But a huge temporary hospital has been built on the athletic fields. And they built this in about a month. They put the thing together. There's video. There's drone footage of this. And you can just see how quickly everybody was moving to put this together. And it's big enough to hold, I don't know, 1,000 people? It's simply incredible what was done. The Army Corps of Engineers was a major part of this. And right now, the good news is that it may not be needed. Now, you can laugh and point at that, at the silly people who have built something they don't need, I'll tell you, that's a hell of a lot better than not having something you do need. And the only reason we don't need it is because people have been sheltering in place, keeping their distance, being intelligent. And if we're going to fight off a second wave, which everybody knows is coming, we're going to have to be intelligent about it. In 1918, which was the great flu pandemic that is referred to as the Spanish flu, but Spain had nothing to do with it. I won't get into that now. The second wave is what killed most of the people because they weren't taking precautions. We've learned so much in that century since then, and we can do so much better. And, you know, it's funny. If you watch Trump talk about this, he always refers to it as the 1917 pandemic. He doesn't even get the year right. Yeah, 1917, I guess you could trace the first microbes or something, but it actually broke out in 1918. In fact, most of the death, I believe, took place in 1919. Regardless, it doesn't matter what year you say, as long as you know something about the history, which, of course, he doesn't either. So, yeah, that hospital is an incredible monument to what we can accomplish. And I'm proud that it's right here at Stony Brook. And I hope we never need it. That would be great if we never need it. But if we do, it's there. And so are the many people, the many other heroes who are there, who we are going to be saluting at 7 o'clock. Going to run outside and yell and scream and blow sirens and light fireworks, just like we do every day at 7 o'clock. And you should too, wherever you happen to be. Even if you're the only person in your town shouting, so what? Just go out there and show joy for having made it through another day, and also a way of saying thank you to all the people who put themselves on the line, whether they're first responders or hospital workers or doctors or nurses. So many good people around us, you know, and it's one thing I think we'll get out of this is just that knowledge, that feeling that, you know, there are good people among us. We hear the ugly so much, maybe too much. Let's focus on the good. All right, back to the ugly, because the ugly is what brings in the ratings. Vice President Mike Pence, did you hear about this? He went to Mayo Clinic today. And despite the policy of the Mayo Clinic that masks are required for visitors and everyone else, he didn't wear a mask. The damn idiot didn't wear a mask. At one point during his visit, video of Pence showed him surrounded by 10 people, including a patient who, unlike him, were all wearing masks. You may recall Mike Pence leads Donald Trump's coronavirus task force, and he suggested to reporters that he did not need to wear a mask because he's tested regularly for the virus and does not have it. Okay, you know, you can get it after being tested for not having it, first of all. There's that. And you get it from other people, and you do hang out with other people. And if all the other people thought the same way that you did, then you most certainly would get it. But the real issue here is the image it sends. You're the vice president of the country. You and the president are people that are seen a lot. And if the two of you were wearing masks every time you showed up in public, imagine the message that would send. Imagine all the kids and all the people who are behind you might actually say, okay, you know, if he can do it, I can do it. But instead, because you're not doing it, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to say, well, I don't have it either. Why should I wear it? Why should I wear a mask? In fact, there was this this famous quote by Donald Trump, somehow sitting in the Oval Office behind that beautiful resolute desk, the great resolute desk, I think, wearing a face mask as I greet presidents, dictators, kings, more dictators, queens. I don't know. I don't see it for myself. Yeah, doesn't work. Doesn't work on your face. It's not a fashion statement. It's health. And unfortunately, with people like that leading our government, we have a real uphill battle.
I can't believe that. It's just, they can't associate themselves with something they failed miserably at handling. I mean, at least the early warning, all of the denying and downplaying of it, it just, if they were to show such contrasting care and attentiveness as to wear a mask, as everyone is being instructed to do, it would be admitting that they were not cautious enough early on. I think they don't even want to tread anywhere close to that. So it's just, and it's also this exceptionalism, and they're different, and thinking that they don't have to, they don't have any proximity to it, or that they'll somehow not be affected, even if they were put at risk. It's just brazen, and as you said, influences more on the challenging side for the rest of us, because people will look at that and not pay as close attention or not feel they have to follow anything. I'm surprised. In fact, I'm surprised we see as many masks out there as we do, given that kind of leadership.
Well, I'm proud that we do see the masks that we are seeing, because that means people are taking that step, and it's not a difficult step. It really is not. It's bizarre. It's weird. We shouldn't have to do it, but we do. We're sick right now. The country is sick. The world is sick.
I like Nancy Pelosi. She's got the bandana. She's been doing that with scarves and
all
stuff.
All right. Yeah, I mean, she's, whatever works.
She could also rob a train, which I would pay to see that. Maybe.
Yes, that would be worth
maybe
it.
Maybe she'll be in a Tarantino movie or something. But no, yeah, any kind of barrier is what it's about when you're in close proximity. And even if Pence did that for a second, when he's got 10 people in a hospital around him, it just... It's,
I just wonder, you know, what kind of memories we will have from this in future years, because this is history. No matter what you think about what's going on, these are days that will never be forgotten, and that we will always have very clear, maybe not accurate memories as to what exactly is happening, but they will be memories, and what we did, how we acted. That's gonna matter. That's gonna resonate for future generations, decades, centuries. Well, be sure to write to us, otw@2600.com. One day this will be the chorus. But we're not ready to leave yet. So what if we haven't seen any films this week, because they haven't, things are slow. Delivery slow boat from China. It takes a while for us to get the videos that we want. But we are seeing this other series on some network somewhere called Run. It's all about Amtrak, which seems like it's made for us. What do you think of it so far, Carl?
Well, I'm in agreement with you, so I'm going to say how you feel at the same time. I think the most compelling part of this series is the train. We watch for the train.
We watch for the train.
Like, we saw the first Amtrak crew member this week.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, except for the fact that there is no such type of crew member. Yeah, there was a bartender who was serving drinks well into the morning.
I think her name's Charisse.
If only there was a bartender and a full bar on Amtrak, it's, but there isn't.
It's an Amtrak rider's dream come true.
It's a dream train.
It is a paradoxic train that has all of these amenities that are maybe in and of themselves, in some parts, there's nothing like it, but each individual piece, yeah, okay, I can see maybe some train somewhere along the line had this. Rooms that don't exist, services, bars that don't exist. Mm-hmm. We're taken with the
rooms are so much bigger than they are.
Yeah, the accuracy and lack of detail. But it's entertaining.
Well, it's entertaining as watching anything, but... you know, I just, if you're gonna do something that takes place almost entirely on an Amtrak train, get the Amtrak train right. I mean, you can't have this palace of a room and call it a roomette.
Well, they're still trying to, like, talk about how awkward it is, and, like, they do a bunch of slapstick stuff with how crowded it is, but it's not crowded.
No, not at all.
Anybody who's been in a roomette knows that it's not a roomette.
You can't turn around in a roomette, and they're basically, you could fit six people in that room.
They're like, the characters are laughing about space, and you're like, ha-ha, try half that.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing that really kind of got me was they took a train to Chicago. It left from Grand Central Station.
That's
why?
Not right.
Why would you do that? That train doesn't leave from Grand. Everybody knows the train leaves from Penn Station. Did you just want that hallway? You just wanted to get that. Could you not get permission in Penn Station? Come on.
It's the shot. Yeah, and Penn Station is too busy. It would have been too pedestrian, not grandiose.
You know what you do? You film in Grand Central like you were planning on it. Then you realize, oh my God, we're in the wrong station. We have to go to Penn Station. Then you hop on the shuttle, just like they did in French Connection, which we just saw.
Oh, that's
and
good.
And you sort of reenact that whole thing where you chase somebody over to Times Square, and then you take the one, two, or three down one stop.
The wrong station thing, that's like anybody could do that, especially if you're not familiar.
Look, I mean, I was busy. Okay, yeah, it could happen to anybody, what you're saying, exactly.
So what do you think is going on with them?
I don't know.
I think they robbed a bank or something.
Okay, basically, for those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, the show is called Run. It's about somebody who I think is just an average housewife-type person out west somewhere, gets a text message that just says in all caps, Run, and then she replies, Run. And then, for some reason, she takes a plane from, I think, California all the way to New York, and then meets this guy who texted her.
Yeah.
And they get on a train and start heading west. I don't know why they didn't just get on a train in California. It was kind of inconsiderate of him to just assume that she would just go wherever, you know, he was. Maybe he should have gone where she was. I don't know. So they're on a train now heading to Chicago. And I think the next episode is going to be in Chicago, because that part... My theory is that somebody wrote this show while they were taking a train, and they got some elements of it right. And I think the element of getting off in Chicago and walking around for an afternoon, that's going to be in the show as well, because that's what you do. But they're going to make it all weird and crazy and, fanciful, but it's not how it actually is.
Yeah, but they're definitely keeping us guessing with what their backstory and history is.
Mm-hmm.
Some relationship, but there's this, like, odd... disconnectedness. It's strange. Like, they're you could fill in all kinds of different reasons why they would be familiar, but I can't, we can't put our finger on it. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, we'll have to keep watching. And if you have any other show ideas or film ideas, write to us, otw@2600.com. Hey, thanks to Adam for writing in with some ideas for things for Kyle to cook. He suggested chicken sog or a mapo tofu, a Chinese dish. These are two of our favorites, by the way. So, Kyle, when you make these things, hopefully you don't ruin them for me, because, I like them spicy, and I like them, filled with all kinds of different ingredients.
Yeah, I'll make sure there's ingredients.
So if you have any ideas or suggestions for what Kyle can make, again, otw@2600.com. We'd love to hear what you have to say. I guess we're out of time.
Yeah, it flew by.
Yeah, well, get ready. 7 o'clock is coming. Yeah, so make some noise. Stay tuned for Finn. Keep listening to WUSB. And say thanks to all the people out there working hard. Good night.
Bye.
Yeah, let's make some noise. Everyone.
The following program on WUSB Stony Brook has been pre-recorded. Any time or event reference may be in the past.